Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Redeemed by Maggie Sunseri. Narrated by Rachel LeBlanc.
Chapter 1. Daylan. Anya was no longer bonded to Lucius. This truth should have brought nothing but relief. But it didn't. That was the funny thing about love. It made us masochists. Because in the end, what I wanted most for my soulmate was for her to be safe, happy, and loved, even if it wasn't with me. Would that have caused me immeasurable pain? Sure, but I would have accepted that, eventually. And Lucius had loved her, but he hadn't protected her or made her happy, not when it had counted. Instead, he'd chosen the shadows that had nearly eaten her soul alive, and I was shocked by my own surprise. When Anya had stopped Lucius from destroying Thora and killing all of our friends, I'd suddenly understood what Anya had intuited all along, that she'd always meant to get as close to him as possible. At that moment, I'd come around to the idea that she was meant to save the realm by saving Lucius. How wrong we'd both been. I wanted nothing more than to beat Lucius to a bloody pulp for what he did to Anya. As I watched her sleep from a brown leather chair across the room, my legs propped up on an ottoman in this quaint one-bedroom flat in reclaimed Thora, I felt her heartbreak leak through our one-sided bond. Carving out a soul bond was a cruel, brutal invasion. It left a wound inside her etheric body that I could hardly stand to look at. It was like a cavernous black hole of void. I couldn't fathom if someone had done the same to me, if I could no longer hear her heart beating from miles away, sense when she was in peril or taste the depths of her ocean of feeling. I also had to acknowledge that no more bond meant no more shadows polluting her soul. And that was a win. Restoring Thora's forest and rejoining her coven had resurrected Anya's connection to her magic. She was hurting and confused, bloodthirsty and disoriented. But she was alive. She was no longer bound to Lucius or Angelina's evil, world-destroying, unnatural witchcraft. She was free. She thought because she couldn't save Lucius that she'd failed. But it was because of her that rebel forces had been able to take back Thora. It was because of her sacrifices that Lucius had been preoccupied while the revolution gathered strength. Covens came out of hiding. Support was rallied, and witches joined the fight en masse. She stirred, and my heart skipped a beat. I had to remind myself how to breathe when her bright green eyes found mine. A flicker of blue sadness and dark gray shame traveled through the bond, just as it always did whenever she looked at me. I could hardly stand it, but she still wasn't ready to open up completely, so I didn't press her. It had only been a week since she'd escaped the castle, fulfilling Cyrus's prophecy with the help of Nathaniel. Talk about a plot twist. Nathaniel had been equally silent since the fallout. He was begrudgingly willing to be held in one of the detention facilities for questioning. We believed in Anya and her ability to perform miracles, sure. But this was Nathaniel, the commander of the guard, the man who'd spent his entire life vying for Lucius's approval, committing acts of evil in his name without batting an eye. Witches were torn on this front, as they were divided on a great many issues these days. Turns out, taking back a city steeped in propaganda, psychological operations, magical subterfuge, and tyrannical military rule was never going to yield the smoothest of transitions. Witches might have historically detested strong leadership, but that was what the situation called for. At least, I thought so. We were all divided on how best to proceed, which was precisely the problem. If you don't want me here, I can stand guard outside, I said softly. She blinked, her energy performing a confused dance, torn between pulling me close and pushing me far away.
You don't have to guard me. You're supposed to be helping Nathaniel this morning, aren't you?
I swallowed. I struggled to read her, to know what she truly wanted. It was maddening. Yes, but you're still recovering, and you restored an entire forest last night. Of course I'm going to make sure you're safe. This place is far from stable, and we don't know how many Kingdom sympathizers still lurk among us, or what they're willing to do to earn Lucius's favor. Leave it to Anya to be concerned about Nathaniel, of all witches. Nathaniel was doing just fine. His accommodations in the repurposed detention center were no castle chambers, but no one was treating him how he'd treated the witches in the dungeons.
I'm fine. No more recovering necessary, she said. The council will be expecting you.
She bit her lip, self-doubt flickering through the bond.
Can I come?
I'd meant recovering in a broader sense, but she likely didn't want to be reminded of that. Of course. You're free, Anya. The council recommended that I advise them because I know Nathaniel better than anyone, not because they don't trust you. I'm trained in interrogation, and I served with him for nearly 2 decades. The council was composed of elders, leaders, and skilled warriors from all covens who'd gathered in Aurora Aurea, plus representatives from all factions of the city. It even included a few witches who were seen as community leaders in certain districts of Thora, but weren't a part of the rebellion. They weren't Lucius's men either. They were just witches who'd been born and raised in Thora, and did what they had to do in order to survive. It was clear how this mix of voices might pose a problem for future action. Anya frowned and sat up. My gaze snagged on the way the strap of her nightgown fell off her shoulder. She readjusted it absent-mindedly.
But I'm an energy reader.
You know that witches can still hide how they're feeling. Especially witches as highly trained as Nathaniel. Or they can feel contradictory things at once, or change their minds. Your gift isn't entirely foolproof. I stopped myself, shaking my head. It doesn't matter. You're not barred or restricted from anything here, okay? If you want to come, you can come. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
I thought you said that it wasn't because the council didn't trust me.
I sighed. I don't know how each individual witch feels. They're all just trying to make the best decisions they can. As for Nathaniel, they just want to make sure they hear a balanced perspective before they let Lucius's second-in-command roam free in any capacity. They know they can trust me to make a good call, because they know that the person he would be the most threat to is you. I watched her get up and head to the wardrobe, pulling out black form-fitting pants with flared bottoms and a cropped red top that would wrap around our torso in thick swaths of fabric. I already knew it was going to be a distracting outfit for me, which I'd grown accustomed to with Anya. Heartbroken or not, Anya was nothing if not devastatingly fashionable and divinely sexy. I refocused. But Anya, as much as we say it teasingly, you are the chosen one. I know you don't believe it yet, but you haven't failed. You weren't led astray. Every step of this journey has been equal parts confusing and destined. You are alive. You did what virtually no one believed you could do. And now, you're more powerful than ever. I wouldn't be able to cover up your power if I drained my own magic to try. It's no longer a beam of light that shines through every realm. It's a fucking sun. It's holding the entire realm together. Everyone can see it. Everyone can feel it. She looked down at the ground for a moment with her clothing in her hands before turning away, her back to me. I averted my gaze as her nightgown fell to the floor, listening with bated breath to her shimmy into pants and fasten her top.
Can you help me with this?
She asked.
The price of Becca's unmatched skill is her increasingly complex designs. This needs to go in a bow, I think.
I raised my eyes and walked to her, taking the strips of fabric and letting go of a breath when our fingers brushed.
Anya did the same, her tense muscles relaxing but an inch. I tied them for her and fastened the hooked clasp at her neck.
How is Becca? And Susie Lynn? I saw them last night, but, well, you know, I didn't really hang around to chat.
When she turned to me, her waves of copper hair still in slight disarray from sleep, I had to work hard to hide the intensity of the bond as it surged and reached. They're doing great, I said. They arrived after the battle since Ruth and Jesco forbade them from fighting. They originally weren't allowed to be here either, but in typical fashion I heard they put up quite a fight. After all, there are plenty of other young witches in the city who have no choice but to be caught up in the war. Becca is still head over heels for the young Aurora Orion warrior, Ray, and Susie Lynn is increasingly annoyed with it. Typical teen witch drama. They also never stopped believing in you, by the way. Susie Lynn was very quick to tell me that. When Anya's lips quirked up ever so slightly, I couldn't help but smile cautiously.
They're good kids. I told them they'd get to see the world, she said. I'm happy they're here.
She was scared, too, but didn't say. But then, a fierceness overtook those tinges of hesitancy, and I recognized the sturdy flames of protectiveness in her eyes. There was my Anya. I'm going to make us something to eat. I'll meet you in the kitchen and then we can go. Yeah? She nodded, and the shame in her energy was back.
Thank you.
You look better,
Cyrus said, nodding at Anya as we walked the cobblestone streets to the detention center.
Healthier, I mean.
Certain streets had been hit worse than others, and the closer we got to the detention center and the old military and police outposts, the worse the damage. Some buildings were collapsed, others were badly burnt, and the smell of char was rich in the air. There was a hell of a lot of righteous anger directed toward this part of town, and it showed. Anya didn't reply, glancing at him and then quickly at me from her spot between us. Cyrus was right. She did look better. The shadows had left her frail. Watching her lose weight and grow sicker and sicker had nearly driven me to the point of madness. There were so many times I wanted to break my cover, storm into her chambers, and force her to eat food, drink water, and stop chugging elixir like it was the air she breathed. After a few moments of silence, she spoke.
His commanders told me that the resistance killed a child, a daughter of a school's headmaster.
I wished it wasn't so hard for her to say his name. I wished I hadn't been right from the start, that Lucius was always going to rip her beautiful, compassionate heart from her chest and stomp all over it.
First of all, hard to call that place a school. It was merely a place where kidnapped children were sent to unlearn everything that their parents and covens taught them in favor of the kingdom's propaganda. Entire languages, rituals, and histories have been killed in those evil places. All across Aradia. Second, Thor's rebel forces had no part in that tragedy. We don't know who set fire to the school or why she was even there, but a whole lot of that event just doesn't add up. And yet, it cost us our credibility with the witches still sympathetic to Lucius or confused about the revolution.
Anya's face hardened.
I knew as soon as I heard them say it that it was just another tactic. Of course, they killed an innocent child just to undermine us.
The anger in her eyes turned to sadness.
And I just let him rot them all. Those prisoners bound in front of that tacky, stupid statue. They thought I was going to save them. And I let them die instead.
Cyrus looked at her, his brow furrowing as his mouth opened and then closed. You didn't have any power, I said quickly, nor were you yourself. You didn't kill those witches, Anya. He did, and you saved countless more when you stopped him from annihilating the whole city. She didn't say anything else.
Hey, wait up.
a voice called from behind us. The three of us turned to see everyone's favorite thruple, Alejandro, Meredith, and Sky, along with our friend Prairie, jogging to catch up to us. When they reached us, Ollie wiped the sheen of sweat from his tan, sun-kissed forehead and trained his sultry gaze at Anya. His supremely flirtatious energy never failed to provoke the bond, but I was quick to board up any kind of reaction. I didn't know where I now stood with Anya, and whether or not I still felt like she belonged to me didn't matter. That part of our dynamic was in question, and I'd never push against her boundaries. None of it was fair. But I couldn't blame Anya. She didn't ask for any of this, and she was the one who'd been burned most of all. At least Ollie was indiscriminate in his shameless seduction attempts.
"Love the top,"
Ollie said with a wink. Mare elbowed him right on cue.
"What? I'm simply praising the work of our coven's talented youth."
Sky rolled his eyes. A smile playing at his lips faded when he met my gaze, and he raked a hand through his reddish-brown hair.
"We heard you guys were headed to asshole jail. Wanted to see if we could join."
Another ghost of a smile appeared on Anya's lips, which would have been a victory if I couldn't also feel the wave of shame and hesitation that sprouted in the presence of our friends. I could tell all four of them were fighting the urge to ask Anya how she was doing, and I was grateful when they managed to quell it. Anya needed them, but I understood her well enough to know that she likely still felt betrayed and wounded. On the shore of Aurora Aurea, when she fought the warriors in order to bring me to Lucius to be healed, our friends stood against her. They'd secretly made a pact with me, promising to help me die with dignity if Anya did the unthinkable. They didn't believe in her, and to Anya that was proof of her deepest fears. Because of her mother's deaths, her early life in foster care, and her difficulty letting people in, she feared she would always be alone in the end. My hand reached for hers without thinking, and I held my breath in a silent prayer that she wouldn't pull away. Our fingers met, and I melted when she reached back, intertwining her fingers with mine.
"The more the merrier,"
Cyrus said, grinning broadly. Everyone was laying the positive energy on thick, despite being weary from battle and anxious about our uncertain future. We all loved Anya. She needed us just as much as the realm needed her. I wanted her to feel these truths so badly it cracked me wide open, and that was the exact moment she pulled her hand away from mine. A gust of wind slammed into us, and Anya's magic leaked into the air in brilliant intensity. All eyes found hers.
"On the way, I need you all to tell me everything that's happened since I left Aurora Aurea, and what each faction here believes we should do next."
Meredith glanced at me, and Anya's lips turned down. "She's not ready to face the past," I said to Mare telepathically. "She needs to look to the future." Mare quickly nodded.
"Of course."
We started moving again, passing a few curious witches as we went. So far, no one had given us any trouble. This part of the city was too destroyed for many to be lingering. Not to mention this was where city officials and Lucius's favored used to live. It had been sufficiently cleared out when we overwhelmed the kingdom's forces and all survivors surrendered or teleported away. Once the protective circle had been cast, with help from thousands of witches across Thora and our gods, ancestors, and perhaps the scorned spirit of Aradia herself, there was no more teleporting in and out. Kingdom loyalists were captured and held where so-called heretics used to be tortured and re-educated.
"Well, soon after you both left, a huge group from Thora appeared through the portal,"
Mare started.
"They channeled enough power to follow your light to Aurora Aurea. Among them was a seer who knew more forces would be waiting for them there. Then came a group from Aventurine, then others from more remote regions. They heard your messages, and they felt the power that's only been growing and spreading all over the realm, finding its way into the soul of every witch who needs it. Ever since you broke Lucius's binding spell over the truth, The magical fog has lifted, and more witches have awakened. The Order couldn't kill every witch who stood against them. That would have been impossible. All over the realm, even in the most oppressed cities, witches remember how the realm used to be. Word has spread of what Angelina and Lucius have done, and what their unnatural magic stands to do to the already fractured Decayan realm.
And word has spread about you, Sky added, that you went to the Akashic Records and rose from the dead, that you're the world healer in the Salvator Mundi, blessed by the goddess to restore the realm. Prairie nodded, glancing over at Anya.
Natural magic has only continued to wither away. The shadows are driving it out of our world. Beings and forces from other dimensions continue to leak into ours, where they don't belong. You and your power are what's holding the realm together.
Because of you, we have a chance, I said. We're outnumbered, they're better led, better trained, and better organized. But the universe is on our side, and always has been. We're the ones with something to fight for, and it shows. You make us all stronger. Anya only stared straight forward as we spoke, her face unreadable, yet her power unable to do anything but strobe and flare.
Aradia, the realm herself, doesn't want magic to die,
Mare said.
She's helping us. The spirit world is helping us. The gods, the moon, the sun, and the stars, all of it is wrapped up together as one. Existence wants to continue existing. No one wants it all to crumble into void. Well, no one but that evil demon woman and the dark chaos entities of the astrals and unknown realms.
What's next?
Anya finally asked as the detention center came into view. It was an ugly stone building with few windows, Lucius's crest flying out front and a sickly, dark, magical line extending around its perimeter. With a snap of her fingers, Anya had the tapestry with Lucius's crest aflame and falling to scraps and ash to the ground below. Anya had few words to say these days. Normally, our talk of magic and world-saving would have lit her whole face up with beautiful determination and devotion. Now, fire danced in her bright green irises. Before anyone could answer, she spoke again, answering for us.
The castle. We're pressed right up against it.
A vengeful smirk crept onto her lips.
What needs to happen next is freeing the servants and the dungeon prisoners. We have friends and allies who need our protection there. They'll help us, and they need to be rescued as soon as possible. Especially now that he's...
Her smirk faltered.
Now that he's allowed the shadows back in completely, with Angelina by his side.
I opened my mouth to speak, but before I could, a blast of magic slammed into us and sent us sprawling onto the hard cobblestone.
Chapter 2. Anya. I cursed as my shoulder crashed into stone. As my adrenaline spiked, my pent-up rage and fury gathered in my palms in the form of crackling red flames. I rolled and pushed up to my feet, fully prepared to annihilate the fuck out of whatever soldier scum had managed to ambush us.
The snarl in my throat halted when I took note of the grimy witches and tattered clothing closing in. A mix of fear, desperation, and bone-deep hunger leaking from their pores. My fire snuffed out. At first, they moved quickly, ignoring my friends who'd been sent in the opposite direction as they ran toward me. But something inside of me recognized something inside of them. The shame, the avoidance, the craving and the frenzy, the disregard for everyone and everything in their quest for a life without pain. Without the heavy burden of responsibility and the illuminating, revealing light of the sun. I fell to my knees, and they slowed. I closed my eyes, resting my open palms on my thighs facing the sky. In my mind, I saw myself drowning in golden whirls of indulgence and hedonism. I saw myself running down castle halls hand in hand with Lucius, the products of Angelina's unspeakable childhood trauma and complete and utter loneliness nipping at our heels. I saw myself fighting to stay above the surface, thrashing and writhing against another blackout state. I let my mouth water and my soul reach for the other half that had been ripped from me. I allowed myself to miss the feel of Lucius's crackling lightning igniting my veins, the warmth of that one flickering star in a field of midnight. A tear slid down my cheek, and it could have been blood from that open wound. I opened my eyes, and the seven energy-addicted witches stood before me. The hole inside of me so too lived inside each of them. One of the men pulled at the hem of his shirt, his fingers quickly moving to scratch feverishly at his own chest, leaving bright red scratch marks in their wake. No one moved to grab me. They all just stared, still frenzied yet utterly stunned. The man who'd scratched himself met my eyes finally, and through his aching emptiness, the dark pit of an aura swimming with remnants of his victim's essences, I caught a glimpse of his pain. I saw a burning village, not unlike mine and Dalen's, a vision of small hands reaching for parents who would never be seen again. Underneath his hunger, his blue eyes were swimming with kindness, a kind of empathy that had gone dormant in the face of unbearable grief. I knew that feeling. "Sit with me," I said to them. Clouds parted and the sun warmed my back. I shifted to a cross-legged position. I heard Cyrus utter a spell, and a magical purple-hued flare shot up into the sky. I offered the man my hand, and for a moment he just stared at it. His hunger crested. The others all looked to him, waiting.
"Anya,"
Dalen said gruffly, horror in his voice. He rushed toward us, but before he could lunge and tackle the nearest witch, I threw up an invisible field that halted him in place. A woman licked her lips. At the same moment, her own pain reached for mine. I let it mingle, and I showed her the flickering star. Impossible love, unfathomable redemption. A tiny drop of hope in a world ruled by shadows. She inhaled and took a small step back. I smiled, and a ball of golden warmth gathered in my chest.
"I'm glowing, Mama,"
I'd once whispered, barely 6 years old. Mama Celeste had smiled at me, basked in the light I'd gathered in my heart.
"That's the goddess, Anya. That's love."
The man took my hand, and he did not siphon my energy. He did not take. He only received. A spark of magic left the tip of my finger, and he shuddered as a wave of blinding light illuminated his weary soul. He let go and sat down, and I reached for the woman. She accepted my gift, and her face fell, her lower lip trembling. Soon, each of the seven had formed a circle with me on the cobblestone, and no one spoke. I wasn't sure what the gift was, exactly. As it had moved from me to each of them, I saw glimpses of homes, covens, or family pass through, as was typical of my power when it found its way into lost witches. But there was also a message, delivered in a tongue that transcended language. If I had to translate it, it might sound like, "I see you," or maybe, "I hold you. We hold each other." The darkness of each of the witches' auras was too strong to hold space for my light. But still, I saw just a tendril of moonlight in their abysses, a drop that refused to die out. And you only needed a drop to start with. That was what my soul father taught me. Orion and several Sophrosyne witches arrived, and I locked eyes with Orion as they assessed the situation. My friends had gathered around Dalen, watching me in complete silence.
You okay?
Orion asked, the serenity of his aura like lapping.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?